We're still on the Holy Spirit this quarter, correct? And we're going to talk about prayer today. Does everybody have the gift of intercessory prayer? What do you, when you hear the word intercessory prayer, what do you think of? What do you think of? Yes?
Prayer for someone or something specific.
Okay. Okay. Does everybody have the gift of intercessory prayer? Does anybody in this class have the gift of intercessory prayer?
Hopefully somebody does, or we wouldn't be asking them to pray for somebody or something.
Okay. I got somebody and I got all. Okay. Does anybody here not have the gift of intercessory prayer? I don't. Intercessory prayer is a specific gift, part of the gifts of the church, that a people have a gift of intercessory prayer where they can pray, talk to God about specific, general, and it's just part of the gift they have. Trent, y'all remember Trent? Trent's one of the persons that absolutely had the gift of intercessory prayer. Sarah Jane Rafferty, I went round and round with her on this. She certainly has the gift of intercessory prayer. I don't. And a lot of you don't. Because it is a specific gift. However, do all of us have the opportunity to use prayer? Okay? And generally, what do we pray for? Now, when we were kids growing up in Adventist schools, what group of people were prayed for the most? Missionaries, number one, and what else? Call porters.
They needed prayer.
Yeah.
I with my dad call porters.
Yeah, yeah.
Prayer.
I worked my way through college selling Bible books, and then I was a call porter for 2 years. So missionaries were the most prayed for, and call porters were the second. Because when you were in grade school, you said, you know, dear Lord, bless the missionaries, bless the call porters, and you know, bless this school and bless whatever else. And that was our prayer. Anything wrong with that prayer? No, absolutely not. So what is your definition? What do you think of prayer? Now, I know prayer is as if a conversation with God. I know that statement. And that's a very nice statement. It's a very true statement. But it means nothing unless you know how to take it to heart. So what is prayer to you? And how do you pray? Who wants to be the first? Yes, Kay.
At different things at different times. You know, you have your times of prayer where you're praying for something specific or someone specific.
Okay.
You'd be driving in your car and, you know, somebody almost hits you but misses you and you say, thank you, God.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like you would talk to
your friend. All right. So, person comes to church, Sabbath school, and in our witnessing time, they say, man, I just want to praise God. There was an accident on 20, and 5 people were killed. But I swerved and missed it. And thank God for sparing my life. What do you think the families of the 5 people are saying? The great Bob Dylan wrote a song. Why are you laughing at me? Great Bob Dylan wrote a song entitled God on Our Side. So he starts out, when the soldiers, Americans came over and fought the Indians, and the Americans won because they had what? God on our side. And then in the Civil War, the North won because why? God on our side. Spanish-American War, we won because we had God on our side. World War I, we won because we had God on our side. World War II, we beat the Germans because we had God on our side. So Dylan ends the song by saying, now the Germans are our friends. So which one of us today has God on our side? So what happens when you won't go through an accident and five people are caught, killed? God not on their side and God on your side? And how much did prayer have to do with this? We're going to pray for Charles and Kay Monday that they have, I think the word we use, traveling mercies. Going to Kenya. We're going to pray for the group, which is a good thing. What does that really mean? And how do we pray for them? Dear Lord, give traveling mercies. Is that a prayer? What is your prayer life like? And is your prayer life important? And if it is important, why? And then eventually today we'll get into what part does the Holy Spirit have. So how important is prayer? Why does God invite us to have prayer? Okay.
I think it's he wants us to verbalize it so we can become aware of our need. Because a lot of times we don't know our needs.
Okay. Yeah. God says, I knew you before you were born. I know your words before you speak them. So why does he invite us? And why is, if it is, why is prayer important in our spiritual life? Yes. Okay, what do you mean by that?
The continuing communication back and forth is how you build relationships in general.
Yeah.
And it's no different with God. That's why He's told us to do that. It helps us, it helps elevate us.
Okay.
And again, it's just a whole part of building a relationship that we all need.
Okay. Yeah. There were times when I decided in my marriage that I was going to play the silent game with Sue. Y'all know what I mean? But didn't get anywhere. You see, because that's exactly right. Did nothing for the relationship. Does prayer bring God down to us? Does prayer enable God to work where He would normally not work? Now that's an interesting question. See who these nice people are. Good morning.
Morning.
I know you all were listening to see if the lesson was any good before you came in here. I understand that. It's not. I can help you with that. So, but well, I always like to know who people are. So who are you folks?
We're the Zembranos, Hans and Karen Zembrano, our son Andrew. We're from Fort Worth first.
Fort Worth, so you're just over here visiting?
Yes, my daughter likes to visit here.
Well, good. And is this the first time you've been in this class?
No, it's not.
You've been here before? Okay. What?
No, it's been a long time.
Good for me. Sue gets lunch today. See how that worked? Did you get a visitor's pack?
No.
Well, I don't know. I've got to give you a visitor's pack. Did you get a dollar?
No.
I don't know what Sabbath you showed up on. Here's a dollar. We pay people. And I know then, if you didn't get that, these are 15 of something, knowing God's ministry. So good. Well, we're glad to have you folks here. Okay, prayer. What does prayer enable God to do, or does it make any difference? Yes?
If you remember the episode of, was it Joshua or Moses, that they were fighting some battle and he wanted the sun not to set until...
That's Joshua.
So kind of something like that, where God accommodated something that would not normally happen.
Okay. And so if Joshua would not have prayed that prayer, nothing would happen?
Well, it's hard to say, but I mean, there must have been a reason why he felt like he had to think that.
Okay. All right.
And it was answered.
Yes.
But we all understand sometimes it's not answered, at least not in the way we think.
Okay.
In that case, it was
That particular case, it was answered, and mighty victory was won. I believe if he hadn't have prayed, it would not have happened.
Probably not.
Because God just doesn't act willy-nilly a lot of times. Sometimes he does. All right, yes?
I think in a way God does need permission to do certain things because of the terms of the great controversy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right on it. Everything that we do has to be put in the context of the great controversy. The whole universe is watching. Paul says that we are a theater. Our world is a theater to the universe. Satan's claims are that God is arbitrary. Last quarter we learned this was exactly the charge he made against God with Job. Well, certainly Job loves you. Look what you've done. You have bought his love. And God says, he's a friend of mine. Let me take everything from him. And so we know the story. It ends up, he comes back and says, you do anything you want to, you just can't take his life. You see. In that particular instance, God was looking out for the universe. And the charges were made universe. That's why we have to be very understanding that not everything we pray for happens. Can anybody give me an example in the New Testament about somebody whose prayer was not answered and he pleaded greatly for what he wanted? Yes?
Paul.
What did he pray for?
There was some issue with his eyesight.
Eyesight, yeah. Take this thorn out of my flesh, and nothing happened.
Jesus,
in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, take this from me. Get me out of this mess. I don't want to go through this. If there's any other way. Now, what's wrong with that prayer? Pardon?
Gives him an out. There was no other way.
Okay. What's wrong with that prayer?
That will be done.
Before he gets to that, what's wrong with that prayer?
Nothing.
There is nothing wrong with pleading for God what we want. I have very few friends. But the friends I have, is everything that you do just all positive? Or do you share with them the things, Charles and I have lunch about once a week, you know? Is it all positive? No. Charles got a lot of problems. I just have to sit there and listen to them, you know, and I'm thinking, God. You know, am I going to get a chance to eat these beans or not? You know, you see? No. You know, he'll say, man, you know, this really stinks. And I'll say, man, you can't believe what's going on. Yeah, see, we share those things. It's what God wants us to do. It's easy to get up in the morning and say, God, give me a good day. Thank you that I woke up. Thank you I didn't die in my sleep tonight, yesterday. You see? Well, if you had that conversation with your friends, they would start to shun you. So God invites us to share and to plead and to talk. So often, our comeback is, well, just suck it up. Have some faith. Trust God. Well, those are all true, but they're all just trite words. God invites us to open up our hearts to Him and to ask and to plead and to talk and say, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to go through this. Please do something about it. Not sit there and say, I'm big, I'm strong, bring it on. See, that's what I used to think Job did as a teenager. Because that's all we ever heard in Sabbath school. You know, it was little Job saying, man of faith, bring it on. Then you read such statements like, I wished I was never born. I wished I would have died in my mother's womb. Why me? You see, God invites us to share our thoughts because He already knows them. And so it's amazing that Jesus sat there and pleaded, I don't want to do this. Get rid of it. But He ended up as Job did. Job says, but though you slay me, I'll trust you. I won't understand, but I'll trust you. And Jesus said, get me out of this. Another way, show me. However, I trust you. And whatever happens won't change my trust. That's the prayers that we must use. Do you always need to pray for God to do things for you? Or sometimes do you share with God what you're going to do? How many of y'all know who Dallas Home is? Quite a few of you. In our ministry, on the names of God, I came up with the concept one time because I'm a big Dallas Home fan. Do you know who Dallas Home is? Christian singer. And he did an album called His Last Days in the late 60s, which takes from Sunday morning going into Jerusalem to the crucifixion. Beautiful, beautiful album. And I came across the concept that it would be good if Knowing God's Ministry sponsored Dallas Home to come to this church and do the album in person. And two different times between the songs, Rob and I would have about a 7-minute sermonette to do with the resurrection and the crucifixion. I thought it was brilliant. I'm thinking of it just obviously brilliant because, you know, overcame pride 5 years ago. But so I can now say that, see. I thought it was brilliant. In fact, Rob and I had David Young, who does all of our websites and does everything. We went over and shot a video of it. Played his songs, and then Rob and I give our little 7-minute and packaged it all up. And I got an appointment with the manager for Dallas Home. Now, here's how I handled that with prayer. I said, God, this is a brilliant idea. And I think it's going to be tremendous. We can invite all the people around the Arlington Church to come. So I know, God, that You want this done. So I'm going to assume that this is going to happen. And if you don't want it to happen, give me a sign. That was my prayer. And I'm in it. So I go over, I see Dallas home in person. I go to the manager. His fee was $3,500 a concert. I offered him $7,000. Because this was a brilliant idea, so what's a few thousand dollars? You see? And so I thought, this will be fantastic. Well, God answered my prayer. He took the door of opportunity. He slid the dresser against it. He put a TV on top of the dresser. He put a chair on top of the TV. He took five nails and nailed the door shut. Because it got nowhere. And, believe it or not, even though I still think it was a brilliant idea, I accept it. See? I could have prayed, God, you know I really want this. Oh, you know it. Open the doors. No, I said, God, I'm going for it. Just want to let you know I'm going for it. Now, if you don't want me to do this, then you figure out a way to stop it. He says, okay, I got a sense of humor. I'll really show you how to stop it. Do you ever pray like that? Or do we sit on our knees and just ask for guidance? Lord, tell me what to do today. Help me out of this situation. So, what is your concept of prayer? What is your prayer life? Who would like to comment?
I think to me it's more of a submission. But there was that realization of that it's kind of a recognition that I'm not the ultimate in control.
Okay. And that's a scary feeling sometimes.
It is.
Because a lot of people, who else? Anybody have any concepts or experiences of prayer they would like to share with us? Yes, Charles.
I have one that was very different. You know, most of the time we pray and I'm not sure if we get an answer or not get an answer. A few years ago, I was being recruited by a competitor of ours, and they were flying Kane up for a weekend. I'd already did the initial interview, and again, I was flying up for a weekend. We go on American Airlines flying out here. Just as we was taxiing out, I just said, God, if this is the right thing, help everything to go good this weekend, give me some guidance on what we should do or not. And I'm still in the prayer, and I heard a voice just as loud as I'm talking that said, this is not right. I turned to Kagan and said, did you hear that? She goes, what are you talking about? I said, if you didn't hear, you didn't say anything? And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And we get up there and get to the hotel room, and they put us in a dirty hotel room. We had change rooms at midnight. This guy recruiting, he was so good that I told him that that wouldn't work on Saturday, and he said, that's not a problem. I said, why? And I told him the Seventh-day Adventist. But he had a list of all the Seventh-day Adventist churches in Columbus, Ohio. He had called, he had talked to each pastor. He said, I think this would be the one that you would really like to go to. So we flew up on Friday night, and he said, here's the address to the church. You go visit the church, everything. We get to the church Sabbath morning. Nobody's there. They are all off on some retreat someplace else. So other little things on the weekend, but went in Monday. He took us around and showed us, you know, the city and where to buy houses and all that stuff. But when I went in to talk to him, I told him about this experience. And change just one thing. He was offered me more than twice the amount of money I was making. More than twice. And I went in and I just said, you know, I'm just going to have to tell you no. He goes, that's a surprise. Why? Did something I do wrong? And I said, no. And I told him about the prayer. And he was a man of faith, and he sat there and he goes, I don't know the reason. You don't know the reason. Evidently, it's not the right thing. And he says, God talks to you direct. He says, you know, I totally understand, and we'll always be friends.
Yeah.
So that was most of us never get a direct answer in prayer like that.
Yep. No, I believe.
Well, for some reason, I still have no idea, because the guy was, like I said, very thorough, very professional. He was very religious. It wasn't the right thing.
Yep, I believe in that. I'm hot. I don't know about y'all, but I hesitate to take my coat off. I'm on steroids, and I'm afraid that it might show. Well, does God always act like that? I mean, that's a pretty clear answer. Does God always give you clear answers?
No.
Okay. Garth Brooks had a song out that is very, very good. It's entitled, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. We have to trust God. And by the way, what does God want for us in our lives?
All that's good.
Pardon?
All the good.
Good. What does He want for us? What is His ultimate goal in our lives?
To spend eternity with Him.
We cannot ever lose sight of that. God's goal has never been that we be wealthy, that we have the best health, that everything runs good, our kids do everything is right, our grandsons do fantastic. Right, grandson? Ah, good. That's what I like to hear. That they do fantastic.
Your car never breaks down.
Yeah. See? God has never desired that for us. His only desire is that we spend eternity with Him. So to some, richness is a curse. To some, good health would be a curse. To some, living 102 years would be a curse. Not for your grandma. God has never promised that our life is going to run smooth. Jesus said, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Now that's a pretty good... Has God ever said that about you, David? There's none greater than David?
He
ain't told you. That's right. He might have, but he ain't. See, but He did say that about John the Baptist. And what was his end? Yeah. Head cut off.
While Jesus was in town.
Yeah. Yeah, and he went and asked Jesus for help. Even to the point of saying, are you the Messiah? Yeah. See, none greater. But in his moment of being in prison, forsaken, nobody caring, he began to wonder if Jesus was even the real person. And he said to his disciples, go and ask him, I'm sitting here in prison. You're out there. Are you the Messiah, and do you really care? And I love what Jesus did. He pulled out Daniel, went to the 2300-day prophecy, pointed out exactly how he fit into it, and said, now you go back and tell John, doctrinally, how could he question? Is that what he did? No. He did what some days I would be scared to do. You want to know if I'm the Messiah? Come and watch me. And they saw him with the little children. They saw him with the crowd that loved him. They saw people that he brought joy to, and they went back and said, he's the real deal. And by the way, Jesus says, you're getting out of jail. Here's your get out of jail. No, he didn't. He went back and said, he's the real deal. And a few days later, John was dead. God has never said that he's going to do everything to make our life easy. What has he promised us?
Won't give us more than we can bear.
That's the most important thing to remember. It does no good when you just lost a husband, you've just lost a child, when you've just lost a loved one, when you just found out you're sick, when you find out you're dying, to quote to him, well, I want you to understand, you can get through this because God's not going to give you. That don't work. That ain't the time to quote that scripture. Pardon?
Not going to leave you or forsake.
Absolutely. That's what you tell him. Tell him as David said, whose David's whose life was up high spiritually, was in the depths of hell spiritually. And David came to the conclusion, though I'm in the heavens, you are with me, and when I'm in the depths of hell, you are with me. That's what you tell the people. You don't tell them, well, buckle up. God knows you can handle the death of your child. What's wrong with you? You ought to be beaten up. God says, if you're in the depths of hell, I'm right there with you. Let me tell you, when you cry, God cries. He feels that. But he's not going to do something that is going to take a chance to take us off the path of his ultimate goal for us, which is for us to spend eternity with him. He's not going to do that. And when we get to heaven and we see the panoramic view of our life and things fall into place and we see why, what are we going to say? Thank you. And I can understand now. Far as I know, Job never understood what he lost. There's no record in the book that God come down to him and said, Roger, let me tell you what's going on. There's no record. Now, how does the Holy Spirit fit into prayer? We got 6 minutes to figure out, thanks to Charles, who took up 32 minutes of my very valuable lesson. How does the Holy Spirit? There's a text that says that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, I'm paraphrasing because I'm a great paraphraser, that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers, bundles them up in the correct way and presents them to God. How does that make you feel?
Not good, but
like a Catholic.
Huh?
Like a Catholic.
It's a nice statement and it sounds good, but think it through. I don't want anybody to paraphrase what I say to God. I don't want anybody to explain to God who I am. I want to talk to Him face to face. I'm a sales trainer. And so I teach salesmen working in businesses to make the presentation to the secretary so the secretary can go into the boss and explain my product. I wouldn't be a sales trainer very long. So how do you rationalize that? What does the Holy Spirit do in our prayer life?
He translates it.
Translates. Why? Why does he need to translate?
The same language. You think we do.
So God the Father doesn't understand us?
No, we don't understand what we're saying to him.
When I say, God, I'm going to go do Dallas home, what part did God not understand in that premise? Sandra, did I beat around the bush with God on that one? No. You see, the danger of this is, and I understand what you're saying, because that sounds like it's a nice thing that the Holy Spirit, but here's the danger. What's that implying? What's that implying?
We can't call directly to God.
Exactly right. And that God does not understand us. Cannot accept that.
Well, how about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God as well?
That I can accept. See. I think it's a nice picture of the Jews to put it in a flannograph story of how the Holy Spirit works to God. But as we grow up, we don't need the flannograph. God said, not the Holy Spirit, God said, I know your thoughts before you speak them. He says, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I even know how many hairs you have on your head. He's subtracting from Randy every week. You see, the Holy Spirit, and I'm running out of time. Let Michael come in. I think he wants to come in. This is my great-grandson. Give him a hand. See, let me tell you how this works. Jesus cannot be everywhere because He died on the cross and took our humanity. So He says, I'm going to bring you a comforter. A paraclete in the Greek. Paraclete, one who walks beside. And He is God. And when we talk to the Holy Spirit, we're talking to the Father. The Holy Spirit does not go and say, God, He didn't mean it that way. What He really meant is this way. No. But the Holy Spirit is continually walking with us, walking beside us, waiting for us to show interest in Him. And when we ask questions, the Holy Spirit says, man, I was hoping you would ask that. Let me help you. Why don't we take it to the Father in prayer? God loves us. God knows us. He invites us to pray, to have a conversation, to share our thoughts. Not to bring God to us, to bring us to God. And the only way that you could have a friendship, a relationship that blossoms, is that you talk with the person, you share with the person, you dream with the person, and you wake up and you decide one day, I'd like to spend the rest of my life with this person. Salvation is that simple. We walk, we talk, we listen, we share, we pray, we ask, we wait for an answer, and one day we wake up and we see our lives have changed. Paul said that. Don't know what happened. And we wake up and say, I don't know what happened. Prayer is a conversation with God. But get the words, bless this food. Help us all to get along. That's nice thoughts. God wants to know what's really in your heart. Today, God, sucks. Just want to tell you. I'm struggling. And you'll feel the arms of God around you. Father in heaven, how wonderful that you've invited us to share with you every thought that we have. To talk when things are good, to talk when things are so-so, and to share with you our hurts and our concerns.
You've invited us to open up our heart. We don't always understand the answers, but we must trust that your desire is to simply get us to heaven, to spend eternity with you, and everything you do ultimately is for your glorification. Hard to understand, but give us the trust, the relationship to do that is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.